Well, on this Thanksgiving weekend, probably some of us are still recovering from Thanksgiving dinner, still probably have leftovers in the refrigerator, if it's anything like my family. And we kind of think about what we see on Thanksgiving. If it's anything like my gathering, well, you know, you've got so much turkey and stuffing and dressings and gravy that by the time it's all over and you've finished dinner, I think Paul's words are very important on this Sunday. Wake up! My family kind of just falls asleep all over the place because you're like so full that you'd like to talk to your family, but everyone's like asleep on a couch somewhere and you can't really talk to them because everyone is so stuffed. Father Brian was saying that if we had a mascot for this first Sunday of Advent, it would have to be a stuffed turkey, because that's kind of how we feel these days after we've just, you know, kind of gorged ourselves on this great celebration of Thanksgiving. Now here we come to the first Sunday of Advent. And all of a sudden, things are very different. If we're going to have a good Advent, we have to kind of put Thanksgiving behind us, even the leftovers that might still be in the refrigerator, and start something very different. A time of preparing, a time of taking away, of making space. If at Thanksgiving we seek to stuff ourselves full of everything we possibly can, Advent is a time to make some space, not just in our stomachs, although that's important, but to make space in our lives. As we go through the next few weeks of Advent, it's very different than what society will be celebrating. The rest of our society is not going to help us celebrate Advent well. The rest of society is going to carry on with what began at Thanksgiving, from one endless party to the next Christmas party, that if we tried to go to all the Christmas parties, we would be perpetually stuffed, and there'd be no room to think much about God with all the partying, especially if you have to prepare one of those parties. The stress that goes into welcoming all these people and creating the perfect party and all that goes on in our secular society with Christmas. Not that it's all bad, but if we just let it get out of hand, we won't have a very good Advent at all. We'll try to celebrate every day like it's Christmas for the next 4 weeks, and then we'll arrive at Christmas just worn out and once again stuffed with food, but spiritually empty. The church gives us a very different path through Advent. We don't have the Christmas trees yet. We have our simple Advent wreath with our unlit candles right now, soon to have one lit candle, that beckons us patiently waiting to say, it's not here yet. It's not all present yet. We are preparing. We're waiting. As we go through this time, the church gives us three key figures that I think kind of help focus us on our journey. Isaiah the prophet, John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, and finally Mary. On this weekend, we focused especially on Isaiah. That first reading speaks of the mountain of the Lord's house and how all peoples will come to the mountain. What does this say to us during Advent? Well, a mountain in Scripture has always been the place where you go to encounter God. And notice it's not easy to climb a mountain. It requires some work. And that means that we too will require effort during the season of Advent. But when you get to the top of the mountain, I think it's very important for this first Sunday of Advent, because when you get to the top, you can kind of look all around. You can see where you've been and where you're going. You notice that last weekend's Feast of Christ the King, where we celebrate the coming of Jesus at the end of time, dovetails very nicely into this weekend. As we look where we've been, we see where we're going. It's not much different. Today, our readings speak of the coming of Jesus at the end of time and our need to stay awake and be ready. So Isaiah, with his mountaintop description, I think is a great example for Advent. It's a time during Advent where we can be at peace, to be alone on top of a mountain in our lives, and to look backward, to see how God has been leading us throughout all of salvation history, but in our own lives. Where has God been present? And then to look forward. Where are we going? Where do we need to be? How do we get to Christmas in a way that finds us prepared and holy and ready. So the first symbol for us is Isaiah and the mountain. The second great figure that we have in Advent is John the Baptist. Very contradictory to what society might give us. Society says, indulge, fill yourselves, have feasts and presents and go shop. John the Baptist goes out into the wilderness, gets away from it all, lives on wild honey and locusts. Don't serve that for one of your Christmas parties, or it will be the last Christmas party you ever hold that anyone comes to. But this is the true food of Advent. Wild honey and locusts, no fancy clothes, camel hair for John the Baptist, a leather belt. And what does he say? He says, not go shop, go to Best Buy. John the Baptist says, no, repent. If you want to prepare the way of the Lord, it is not found in a Best Buy gift card. It is found in fasting, prayer, waiting, and above all, repenting. Turning away from our sins. Because the surest thing that will keep us from Christmas is not going to be lack of presents. It will be lack of repentance. Lack of turning back to God. Our own sins getting in the way of making straight the path. So that's John the Baptist's great call to us. In the midst of all that society would give us, John the Baptist says, repent, make straight the path. What will we do this Advent to help make straight that path? Certainly we have the opportunity of going to confession. We'll have communal penance services in just a few weeks throughout all of Topeka. That's a great way to make straight the path, to really make this Advent holy. Come to confession. Be free of all that would hold you back from Christmas. Finally, perhaps the greatest and best symbol of Advent is our Blessed Mother Mary. More than anything, Advent revolves around her. In the great stories of the birth of Jesus. We don't have much about Mary in the scriptures, but what we do, she is the star of this season of Advent. We see in her the model of how to live Advent, humbly saying yes to God and whatever he asks. Mary didn't have anything fancy. I've been to her little home in Nazareth where she met the angel Gabriel. It's no more than a cave, really, underground. Mary was, in very literal ways, a cave woman. No fancy TVs, no stereos, no iPods, no cell phones, just her little cave, really. And it was there in that aloneness, that quiet, that she was able to hear God, to encounter Gabriel. We all need that space for God, that quiet. We need that little cave, that little house, away. And even if we can't get away, it doesn't have to be not our own house. It can be right at home. Maybe to take a night without TV, to turn off the noise, to make some space for God. If we do, we too will have an encounter just as real as Mary did with God. And when God comes to say yes, Mary is above all the symbol of Advent because she is overjoyed at the presence of the Holy Spirit that brings Jesus. She is our great model for this Advent, that we might wait with expectant joy like she did. For 9 months, she knew that she carried Jesus in her womb. How she would have longed for the day of his birth. So too, we must have a great longing. Not for more presents under our tree, but for his presence, the presence of the Savior, which we anxiously await on Christmas Day. So we have these three rather countercultural examples that guide us through Advent. Isaiah, who urges us to climb the mountain to get a better vision of our lives. John the Baptist, who invites us, if the vision that we see maybe has some crookedness to it, to make straight the path, to get to confession, to repent. And finally, Mary, who reminds us to be joyful as we wait expectantly for the coming of Jesus the Savior. That's how we live Advent as Christians. That is our goal. That is our key to happiness. It is our key to having a wonderful Advent. I wish that for you and all your families this Advent, that we as a church might arrive at Christmas not worn out and exhausted with parties, but renewed and refreshed and joyful at the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior.